may be seated. Turning in the Bible now, our sermon passage is Genesis chapter 30. What you see here is Jacob's growing family, Genesis chapter 30. And for our purposes this morning, we'll consider verses 1 through 24. Genesis 30, 1 through 24. And next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up at verse 25 to see Jacob's growing prosperity as well. Hear now the word of our God. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister, and she said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I'll die." Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" She said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children." So she gave him her maid Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son." Therefore she named him Dan. Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. So Rachel said, "With mighty wrestling I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed." And she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, "How fortunate!" So she named him Gad. Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "Happy am I, for women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. Now, In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter for you to take my husband, and would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore, he may lie with you tonight and in return of your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, when Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. God gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my maid to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore a sixth son to Jacob. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Afterwards she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." She named him Joseph, saying, "May the Lord give me another son." This is the reading of God's inspired holy word. May he add his blessing to it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with such a rich passage, God, we see much sin, we see much troubling issues, but God, we pray that we may also see the gospel in the darkness of this family's life. We pray that we may see and hear what Jesus Christ would have for us this day in the truth of this word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our last passage we saw the beginning of what is called the 12 patriarchs. We saw the birth. Notice Leah gave birth to Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. That's the first four of what we will see the rest of the 11 in this passage, the 11, seven more. The first four of the 12 patriarchal heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob. Here's the next seven. And what we see in this passage, as we consider these 24 verses is both terrible and wonderful. It's terrible because, like a soap opera during daytime television, there's just some real nasty sin going on, horrific sin going on. But in the darkness of this sin filled family, every family is filled with sin, we see the light of God's grace with children. With children. Providing Jacob and his wives that rich heritage, that blessing from the Lord. Children. Before we consider this theme, God continues to provide the blessing of children to Jacob, which now we have the number 11 of the 12 patriarchs of Israel. There's one more coming, and that's Benjamin. That's a little later. But now we have 11. First, there are two additional wives who together will provide 4 out of the 12. Then we turn back to those original wives, the two sisters, Leah and Rachel, who both give birth to more sons. And again, we step into this passage. We must see that this happened during that 7-year period as he's working off his debt to Laban for Rachel. So count it. 12 children, 11 boys, and 1 girl in 7 years. In the next passage, you'll find out he begins to work longer. He's going to end up being in this land with Laban much longer. But this time period, this chapter, right at this moment, is within that 7 years. So we can see some of these brothers probably could share the same birth month, definitely the same birth year. Because when you have 4 wives, they all 4 could potentially be pregnant at the same time. And now we have the additional 2 wives, Bilhah and Zilpah, who give to him 2 apiece, 2 sons apiece. This is the first 13 verses of our passage. Back in chapter 29, Moses reported the fact that these 2 women were given to Leah and Rachel as maids, 1 to each. But they have now turned into much, much more than just maids. They stand in the story like Hagar stood in the story with Abram, Sarah's maid, now given over to Abram as a wife. Now these 2 women are given to Jacob as wives. Now some could argue, indeed have, well, they're concubines, not really wife. Well, you look at the passage again, it's the word wife, it's not concubine. It's wife, not concubine. Now, they do stand as kind of surrogate mothers, but later on in the book of Genesis, they will be called mothers. They will be given what we could call motherhood of these children. So Leah and Rachel, in a sense, take claim to them, but later on we'll see that they are indeed considered the mothers of these children. And this is, just face it, this passage is just a complicated passage, complicated situation. It's easy to understand, but it's not something that we enjoy telling our children, these types of stories right here, because let's just face it, we'd rather skip over to the fact that he's got 12 kids, not really how he got to the 12. And so what we have here is Jacob presented to us warts and all. Warts and all. Let's consider the first part of this with Bilhah and her 2 boys. Again, there we have in the first verse, Rachel saw it. She bore Jacob no children. She became jealous of her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." Notice that present tense here. Now, I will die. I die. Notice here the envy of Rachel. There's a reason why envy is one of the 7 deadly sins. Because the tragedy of Rachel is that she will indeed have children, and she'll die giving birth to one of them. Envy leads to death. And that's seen here with the tragedy of Rachel. given birth to Benjamin. That's later on. The jealousy here is not for the blessing of the Lord. The jealousy, because of the envy here, is in competition to her sister. The Bible, the word that's used in both Old and New Testaments for jealousy, when it's referred to jealousy to God, it's zealous. It's zealous. One can be jealous for God. One is zealous for God. It's the same word. You just change the first letter. But here, it's a sin. It's not a beautiful attribute that one could have. It's not a virtue. It's a vice. It's a sin. She's wanting to be like her sister. How odd, right? The world praises her as being the most beautiful thing around. But she wants to be like her sister. Jacob seems to understand God. Notice what he says in verse 2. And Jacob's anger burned against Rachel. And he said, Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Notice two core theological God facts of life. That's what theology is, God facts. So notice these two God facts here. First, Jacob makes the point that it is God who gives and it is God who takes away. Look at verse 2 and you see that. It is God who gives and it is God who takes away. God has given children the land and God has taken and withheld children from Rachel. You see that? God has given, God has taken. And this is done for His glory alone. But let's try not to dive any deeper than that. This is for His glory alone. Not necessarily our understanding. Yet we can glean here, secondly, another God fact, that God is sovereign. We see the sovereignty of God with Jacob's words. Jacob is stating that because God has told him back in Genesis 28 that he's going to be with them, he's going to provide children. Here Jacob is applying this reality with the fact that he has blessed Leah. It is God who has given, it is God who has taken away. Jacob is not sovereign over this. God is. Jacob has no control over this. God does. So Rachel takes matters into her own hands, doesn't she? Look at what she does. Like Sarah, or Sarai, she forces the issue. All right, well, if I can't do it, she will. Take her, Bilhah. She forces the issue. She increases the marriage bed from what was 3 to now 4. More sin. Notice Jacob's theology did not say no to this. He got the sovereignty of God just right, but he's failing to understand the holiness of God and the holiness of marriage. And so Jacob, again, thinking with his flesh, says, okay, all right. And now he has a third wife. He has a third wife. Jacob here listens to his wives, as we'll see also with Leah. And he takes on Bilhah as another wife, as the third wife. And she has two sons. This takes us into verse 6. Rachel said, God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore she named him Dan. Verse 8 gives us the name of the second son. So Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and I have indeed prevailed. And she named him Naphtali. Notice Rachel is doing the naming. God is just and he has vindicated me, so I'm going to name this child Dan. Dan. The second deals with that competition between these two wives. I have wrestled with my sister. I am victorious. Naphtali. I've won. Look at this. And Leah sees this. Just like in a chess match, she now counters. Her counter is, look at verses 9 through 13. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her maid Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. So Leah here responds to Rachel's jealousy, her envy, with her own now sin. With her own. Even though God has provided for Leah 4 beautiful boys, she's now allowed her sister and the competition that her sisters bring to get at her. to get at her. Instead of just saying, you know what, I'm still going to praise the Lord, Judah, she now allows her sister and the force and the influence that her sister has on her to play with her. And it calls her to sin more. She responds with sin of her own. She gives Jacob her maid as a wife, and now the marriage bed equals 5 members instead of what it should have been from the get-go, just 2. And notice how when you put your focus on other people and how they're interacting with you and the competition they bring against you with whatever, and you put your focus on that, you begin to lose focus and perspective of what you know your priorities were in the first place. What was Leah's priority? We're about to hear about it with the mandrake issue. To be the only wife. To be the only wife. Now what does she do? Here, take on another. She completely loses focus. This is a mad woman. She's lost it. Here, have a 4th. I wanted to be the only one, but what would one more? Whatever. And so she does it. She gives her maid. This is polygamy. And this is sin. Now that's the terrible nature of this, but notice there's something that's beautiful that comes out of this. God blesses this union with children. Verse 10, Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Leah said, how fortunate. So she named him Gad. She bore him a 2nd son. Happy am I, for women will call me happy. She named him Asher. The first son counters Bill's son, Dan, justice. That first one counters the other one. And now there is a translation issue. If any of you have a King James Version or a New King James Version, it would read something of, now comes a troop. And that's because the theology of the translators of the King James Version would not allow for any discussion of chance or fortune or luck, which is the Hebrew word here. And they went with a lesser meaning, a weaker meaning of bring forth the troop, the army. More modern translations will have fortune. Good fortune, or another way of translating this, a troop comes. In the context of this, here comes the good theology now. In the context of our passage, with the competition that's going on, with the war that's raging, good fortune doesn't make sense. What does make sense is the way the translators of the King James or the New King James put it. I have a troop. You're wrestling with me? Look at what I'm bringing. I have an army of children. Because again, realize that Leah is counting this as one of her own. And so for Leah, this counts as 5. The majority. I have an army. A troop is backing me. So in the context of this jealous wrestling match, Naphtali's name, we have Leah countering with literally 2 boys. One being army, the other one being, you know what, I'm happy. Notice again Leah's transition between the one being the offensive, the passive-aggressive name, and finally, she gets back to where she had done with Judah. You know what? Forget this competition. I'm happy. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has blessed me, and women will consider me blessed. And so the second one is there, is named Asher. More maturity here with the children in this second name than there was with the first. But this is not the end of the story. We move on to an interesting part of the passage, starting in verse 14. Now we're going more in detail with Leah and Rachel's sons. When we step into this next part of our passage, we find first the mandrake bargain. These mandrakes, they come up. What an odd thing here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. But notice this mandrake bargain seems to make light of the marital bed and the relationship that husband and wife can have. He's just getting thrown around from tent to tent as if he's the piece of property. This provides 4 more children. 3 boys and a little girl. Let's begin with this mandrake bargain and Leah's other children. Look at this in verses 14 through 21. Now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field, and he brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter for you to take my husband? And would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore he may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." There's the bargain. There's the bargain. Stop just for a moment and consider this situation. Many sit back and go, "Well, what in the world? What does mandrakes have to do with what's going on in this passage?" Well, in the time, in the history of this, mandrakes were considered to be an aphrodisiac. That's the point. Rachel wants this fruit because she's been told this will help you with having children. God's not helping you. So these mandrakes will. These mandrakes are her answer. That's why she's willing to make this bargain. You see that? That's why this bargaining here is happening. It's because this is, well, able to help her have children. These pieces of fruit, this part of creation, this would help. Now, stop for a moment. This does not mean that this idea of having this to help is sin. No, this is simply using the potential of creation. Potential of creation. She's trying. She's trying with all of her might to have children. Yeah, but notice how Leah gets upset here. She is the original wife, and now she's having to bargain to enjoy her husband. You see that? Nasty here. But this bargaining does not look good, does it? Because what are they bargaining over? Their husband. That's his property. Something that women just need in order to have children, procreate. He's just an object at this moment. He's not the affection of their love, just a means to an end. Much like these mandrakes. See that? Mandrakes and Jacob. See what he's worth to them? Rachel's jealousy leads to sin, but here Leah, she gets to enjoy her husband again. And notice she conceives again three times and gives birth to two sons and a daughter. When Jacob came in from the field that evening, verse 16, "You must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So she lay with her that night. This language is, it's not good. It's not good. Don't ignore that. It's not good. But we see here the fruits of sin, competition between wives, and they literally have to fight over who will get to be with their husband next. They have to bargain. They have to pay for it. Yet again, God blesses this union, and He provides more children. He provides more children. Leah here has Jacob's fifth son, named Issachar, because while, yes, she sinned in giving Zilpah as another wife, as a fourth wife, she says here, "God's giving me my wages of my hard work." Now she has a correction with the next son. Notice the next one. This is much like with Judah. Now I'm going to praise God, much like with Asher. Now I'm just simply going to be happy. Here with this last son, Zebulun, she says, "God has been gracious to me. This is a gift." And so now she has Zebulun. And in verse 21, we see the number of seven, the daughter of Dinah. The only recorded daughter that we have. Now this closes out the account of Leah's giving birth to children. This doesn't close out the account of Leah. She continues in the story. We'll see her in the next couple of chapters here. But notice what we have now in verses 22 through 24. Rachel's son. "Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb." Now, we must see first and foremost here and understand, again, the sovereignty of God in this situation. Notice what Moses says. It is God who remembered Rachel. It is God who gave heed to her requests for a child. It is God who closed her womb, and it is only God who could open her womb. There is no amount of mandrakes that's going to do that. God had to do it. No amount of mandrakes can open what God has closed. And so He opens her womb. And Rachel is given a son. Look at verse 23. So she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. Notice this for a moment. Notice this for a moment. We're going to put it in context of verse 24, but let's step for a side and just notice God has taken away my reproach. She notices God's sovereignty. She proclaims the reality that God has taken away her reproach. Her reproach was twofold. Her reproach was her envious jealousy. Now she finally has a son. She has what she wanted. She wanted to be like her sister, but now God has removed her reproach by giving her a son. Finally, she has that. But also, secondly, the full reality of this is the fact that in this day and age, to not have children was to not be able to participate in the promise of the coming seed. And so her reproach was that she was barren. She didn't have hope of seeing Christ in her children. See this. And God has now removed that. She's now participated in that promise of Eve. This is why Paul brings this up in one of his epistles to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:14 through 15. He goes back to Eve. He says, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. That's the message to Rachel. God has removed her restraint, her reproach, because she is now put in that genealogical line of the promise. Now, no, she's not the mother of Judah, but Joseph will do spectacular things in the book of Genesis. He will be that child that will keep his family alive in the midst of severe providence. God will use Joseph for amazing things. Yeah, but then we have this problem. That's overall. Now stepping back into the context of chapter 30, we've got this problem that's in verse 24. Look at verse 24. She named him Joseph, saying, may the Lord give me another son. See that? See the problem with those words? In context, you find out that Rachel named him Joseph because she wanted another son. She didn't name him Asher. I'm happy with this one. She named him Joseph because she wanted more and more. And so on the one hand, she was happy. Verse 23, she's happy. But on the other hand, verse 24, that envy, that jealousy that we saw at the beginning of our passage has crept back in, because jealousy, envy will never be satisfied. It literally goes with her to the grave. This is a part of the tragedy of Rachel. She will die a bitter woman because she will never have enough of what her sister has. She does not see herself in the way that God sees her. She's too busy seeing herself and trying to find the reflection of her sister and not the reflection of Jesus Christ. We'll close this sermon out considering for just a moment what has just happened in these 24 verses. What has taken place here in these 7 years of Jacob's marriage with these four women. Jacob went from being married to two sisters to now having four wives. Jacob went from having no children to now he's got 12 sitting around his table in 7 years. That's a short amount of time to have that many children. 11 boys, one girl. This is what you call growth. Growth. With growth comes the growing pains. With growth comes the loss of that which, you know, people can't stay. They go on. With growth, there is no more silence of just the husband and the wife. Now there is the sound of children in the back making noise, crying, stirring about. Right? That's what growth brings. With growth comes the growing pains of longer nights, sleepless nights, over more and more covenant children. With growth comes the growing pains of seeing people leave because, well, they're not ready for this type of growth. We'll see that next week as well. With this growth, this happens when God brings growth to his people. It is God who provides the young children, the infants, for baptism. It is God who does not reject them. God does not therefore we should not reject them. He says, bring them. Bring them to my Son, Jesus Christ. Bring them into His church. Bring them. Never look down on those who Jesus says, bring to me. Bring to me. Love those whom Jesus loves. Care for those whom Jesus cares for. Don't look down the road at other places where they claim to worship Jesus Christ and think, look at what they've got. I want to be like that. That's the tragedy of Rachel. If that's how you view church growth and the way that God causes growth, then, well, we'll go to the grave unhappy and bitter. Instead, look here. Praise God here. Be happy with the growth God is bringing. Because this is beautiful. It is God who brings the increase. It is God who causes the growth. As we've been able to celebrate this day, by His providence, the baptism of another child, we're going to get to celebrate the ordination of another elder. God is the one bringing the growth. He is the one who blesses His people. It is not by the works of our hands, but by His grace, providing us more in Jesus Christ. This is the lesson that we learn from this sudden growth of little ones in the church. Sudden growth of children. When there is no crying in the back of the church, the congregation of churches die. That's the beauty of our passage. The house of Jacob went from nothing and in 7 years exploded to a large family. That's what we pray for. That's what we see. And that's what we praise God for in Jesus Christ, that He has indeed caused the growth. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, indeed we thank You for the mercy that You've brought about with bringing growth to Your people, for the mercy that we see here in our passage. And we pray, God, that we may continue to pray and to be held in steadfastness, to be kind and loving and gentle as the fruit of the Spirit continues. We pray, God, that we may continue to see the growth. As we've seen in this passage, a real life passage, there is losses and crosses. There is a picture of a family, warts and all, but yet we still see Your gracious hand providing children. We pray, God, that we may continue to look at the grace and the mercy that covers a multitude of sins. We pray, Heavenly Father, now as our Lord taught us how to pray, saying, Father, who art in heaven.